Lonely Writer. Welcome back. This is season 4 of the podcast, and it is still crazy to think that we've come this far. We've talked to so many brilliant authors and writers and creators and formed a community of people who just want to support each other through, you know, the ups and downs of this writing journey. And for that, I will never be able to express how grateful I am. So thank you for coming back. And I am really excited to be able to start this season today with a conversation that it's going to stick with me for a while. Today, I had the absolute pleasure of chatting with Janika Oza, author of the epic and sweeping historical novel, A History of Burning. A History of Burning is an unforgettable tour de force, an intimate family saga of the complicity and resistance, about the stories we share, the ones that remain unspoken, and the eternal search for home. Janika is the winner of the 2022 O. Henry Prize for Short Fiction and the 2020 Kenyon Review Short Fiction Contest. She has received fellowships and support from the VONA, Tin House, One Story, the Malay Colony, the Toronto Arts Council, the Ontario Arts Council, and the Canada Council for the Arts. Today, we talked about what it means to earn that big capital W, what it means to accept your identity as a writer and an author and allow yourself the space to create something beautiful and personal, whether it be fiction or nonfiction, and really own your own story and the space to create it in. This is going to be a good one. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today, Janika. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
I'm so thrilled. One of the things that I wanted to do a little differently for this season of the show was I wanted to talk more with authors who I feel are not getting enough attention. To be quite honest, like, as Canadian authors, we both understand the just kind of like the constant like hustle of like needing to stay current in the like churning waters of the publishing industry. And I think sometimes when, especially when you write more literary or something that is maybe more, you know, what the industry would consider niche or not commercial, I think we kind of feel like we lose steam, like in the marketing perspective, and people don't see us anymore. They don't talk about our books anymore. So it was really important for me to find authors and to find books that I felt were really, really special and needed to, you know, have a place to talk about their story and their journey. So I'm so excited to have you here today and to be able to talk about your debut novel, A History of Burning. So let's start, before we get to this beautiful novel, let's start with you and let's start with, you know, the who. What is your author origin story? You know, where some of us were angsty teens who journaled too much and it turned into books. And some of us were, you know, just striving to be like the next, you know, big, huge literary inspiration. What was it for you? Where did it all kind of start?
Yeah. I love this question. For me, I mean, I was always writing. I was writing as a kid. I was always writing stories and giving them to whoever would read them. But I think there was a real distinction for me between, you know, being a writer and then being a capital W writer. And I was always told that writing was something I could do on the side, you know, as a hobby, as something that was fun for me, but, you know, it was not something to put at the center of my life. It wasn't something to make a career out of. And so I really took that to heart, and I pursued completely different career path, and was working for many years in a different field, full-time, and just kind of writing on the side. And it was only when I started trying to publish some stories and essays and and meet other authors that I started to think about, okay, can I actually put this at the center? Is that possible for me? And it was always a question in my mind. And even now that writing is at the center of my life, it's still sometimes something I feel like it's difficult to claim. I'm like, can I say that I'm a writer? Like, I see my book in the stores, but like, you know, it's really deeply ingrained in me, that idea that writing is something to do on the side, but I also know that it's, you know, I feel the most alive, and the most myself when I am writing and when I am spending most of my days working on things related to writing. I feel very grateful that I get to do that now.
That's wonderful. You bring up a couple points that are so interesting, and I think we touch on a lot of times. It's really funny how hard it is for us to give ourselves permission to fully, like, say, I am this thing, or really take ownership over our work and our title, because it's something we love doing and because it's our passion and our art. It feels like we haven't earned the title yet. Like, but then I always ask, like, what is earning the title? Like, where do we get, what is the point? You know, and I say this because one thing I really loved when I was doing research on yourself, is looking at your background. You have quite the gilded CV for a writer, you know, especially a young writer. Like, you have been published in, you know, you've had your work published in the Kenyon Review, the Malahat Review, Catapult, the Cincinnati Review, and like so, so much more. That is, it really, I think people don't grasp how difficult that is. Again, especially coming from Canada, where, you know, I feel like we're all really kind of competing against the big fish. And to have your work seen in these pieces is so important, and it's so rare and hard to do. But at the same time, there's a friend of mine who I'm constantly having a conversation with, because I have to build my portfolio. I've got to build my bio and my resume before I finish my manuscript, before I'm allowed to. And he's in a place where he constantly kind of is not allowing himself to see himself as an author, or, you know, in a place where his work is valuable without having all of these little bylines and these credits to his name. So my curiosity is, obviously, you said, you know, writing was something you were compelled to do. It's something you always kind of came to. But was there a little bit of that, like, when you came out into the world and the industry, did you feel like, you know, being able to say, I've been in these publications, or I've had my work seen and appreciated, did you feel like that was like a little bit of an armor, so that when you did come in with your book, you felt a little bit more like you should be respected, and, you know, it's already here for you. I've proved myself.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because I think, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, like, why should we have to earn the title of being a writer? You know, why should we have to prove ourselves? And you're right that it is this like very competitive kind of industry where you often are made to feel like you have to prove yourself with all of these publications, these accolades. And I think particularly being a writer of color and somebody who, you know, I didn't study creative writing. I don't have a degree in it. There's sort of this feeling of like this sort of imposter feeling, that I was and often still am battling. But I think for me, starting to put my work out there, what that taught me was kind of how to connect with readers, and also just that first sense of, oh, my work is reaching somebody. You know, like my very first publication ever was in this small Toronto-based magazine called Loose Leaf, and it came out in print. And it was an essay that I had written about food and family, and questions of race and belonging. It was an essay that was very, very personal and special to me. And it came out in, I think, like the perfect home for it, which was, it was small, it was local, but it was also my first experience of like putting work out there and having people, both people I knew and people I had never met, encounter that work and reach out to me about it. And I think that experience and kind of having experiences like that repeatedly with publishing work, that is what really prepared me for putting a book out. Is just sort of like, okay, like this is something that is personal to me. This is something that I spent lots of time working on privately. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes something else when it goes out there. And there's a way that that's like incredibly beautiful and powerful. And you can have that kind of connection. And then there's also a way that that can be really hard.
Yeah. Right?
And you sort of have to, I had to learn how to also protect myself, and kind of, have some kind of like detachment from the work as well.
Right. I think that's a interesting thing that you note, because, you know, A History of Burning is fiction, and, you know, you've written both fiction and nonfiction pieces that have been published. So I think sometimes people don't give fiction writers enough credit of the amount of personality and vulnerability that you have to put into your writing. I think sometimes, yes, of course, we can create a distance. And that, I think, like you said, is healthy. It allows you to be able to take a step back and not take it quite as personally. But really, I think most people still write from a place of truth inside them, from some sort of, you know, stem of an idea or a feeling or an expression that is very personal to them, regardless of how we spin that onto the page. So speaking of that, speaking of personal, let's talk about A History of Burning. I have it here. And, you know, as we were saying before we started recording, this is a tomb. this book for a debut novel, like the listeners can't see right now, but if they hop onto our videos later, they'll be able to see this stack here, and I'm in love with it. But this is an incredible book, especially for your debut novel. Like it is beautifully written. It is beautifully told. There is such a powerful narrative that you've created. It doesn't feel like we're watching from the sky of these characters moving through their lives and the things that are happening. It feels like we're walking along with them. It really felt like, you know, that you were really intimately involved in these characters' lives and the, you know, the events that were unfolding around them. So I'm going to grab my copy and we will give the listeners a little description of A History of Burning. India, 1898. Peer Bhai is the 13-year-old breadwinner for his family when he steps into a dhow on the promise of work, only to be taken across the ocean to labor on the East African Railway for the British. With no money or voice, but a strong will to survive, he makes an impossible choice that will haunt him for the rest of his days and reverberate across generations. Peer Bhai's children go on to thrive in Uganda during the waning days of British colonial rule. As the country moves toward independence and military dictatorship, Peer Bhai's granddaughters, sisters Latika, Mayura, and Kia, come of age in a divided nation, each forging their own path for the future. Latika is an aspiring journalist with a fierce determination to fight for what she believes in. Mayuri's ambitions will take her farther away from her family than she ever imagined, and fearless Kia will have to bear the weight of their secrets. Forced to flee Uganda during Idi Amin's brutal expulsion of South Asians in 1972, the family must start their lives over again in Toronto. Then, one day, news arrives that makes each generation question how far they are willing to go and who they are willing to defy to secure a place of their own in the world. A masterful and breathtakingly intimate saga of colonialism and exile, complicity and resistance. A History of Burning is a radiant debut about the stories our families choose to share and those that remain unspoken. This is such it just really is like, the jacket copy really just says it. Like, it is just this sprawling, epic, beautiful story that, like, it really just spans. It's hard to tell the story of one generation of people, but to, tell this kind of waterfall of history is just so beautiful. So tell us about, the why. Something we talk about a lot on this podcast is the why of writing. What was, or it still is, the why of this story? Why did you want to write this book?
Oh, can hear my cat.
That's okay.
I love that question. And for me, the why of this book was really connected to my own family and my family history, where this is my family history. I'm a descendant of this history, and my dad, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, my great grandparents, they were in East Africa. Sorry, she's a little bit needy.
That's okay. All pets are welcome here.
And settled, sorry, my family was settled there. And in 1972, they were expelled under Idi Amin's dictatorship, along with all other South Asians. And this was something that I knew about in kind of broad terms, but I didn't know any details, and I knew very few family stories about it, and that's because we didn't really talk about it at home. There was a lot of silence around this in my family, and I know where that comes from. I understand it's a really difficult thing to talk about. There's a lot of pain and loss there. But for me, writing this book was really a way of writing towards those questions that I had about this past, this piece of my past, and writing into that silence in order to kind of understand it and break it open in a way. And I think, I have to say that that's something that I was able to do because I'm at a remove. This is my family history, but I was born and raised here in Canada. And so for me, the kind of emotional work of, speaking to people who had been through this and diving into the archives and just sort of doing that labor, that was possible for me because I am at a bit of a remove from this. And so I tried to be, really sensitive in my research to that fact. But that was what I always came back to, was that sense of purpose was really connected to this kind of like desperate curiosity that I had about where I come from, what my family went through, what my community went through, and the ways that that kind of continues to live on and to live with us even generations later.
That's a beautiful why. It's funny because it feels very selfless, but at the same time, it was for you. You were filling in the gaps for yourself that was so missing, and at the same time, very beautifully honoring all of those places and memories and experiences that I imagine. Your family has probably tried to distance themselves from, or just kind of, not think about anymore because they're so clouded in the negative, and you gave them such a beautiful way to remember it. So that's I hope you're so proud because it really is quite beautiful. And that brings us to one of my final questions, actually, is the what. And so often we put our work out into the world, with real hope that it's gonna make a difference in some way. And a lot of the time it lands in the way that we want it to. And a lot of the time it lands in ways that are completely unexpected. What for you is really your like hope? If your book was like a little baby you were sending out off to college, like what is your hope and what is your want for this story now that it's fully conceived and fully, ready for the world? What is your hope for it? What do you want it to be able to accomplish?
For me, I think that actually happened before the book even was published. For me, the process of getting to speak to members of my family and community about their stories, getting to hear their stories, getting to have these conversations with elders in the community, and hearing people say, I haven't told this story before, and sharing it with me, and just that kind of sense of an opening that happened through researching this book in order to write it, like that was just incredibly meaningful to me. And if nothing else came of this book, I would feel satisfied because I got to do that and I got to engage in that. And I think, thankfully it did become a book. It is moving out into the world. And I'm getting to see that those conversations are continuing. And this book is kind of sort of rippling outward and opening up conversations for people both in the community and outside of it. I think everybody has, stories in their family, stories in their history that are buried, that are hard to talk about. And I'm hearing feedback from readers, both people I know and people I don't, telling me that, they've read the book and it jogged their memory about this thing that had happened, and then they went and shared that with their family, and now, they're having these conversations. And so for me, I never could have expected that kind of reverberation. But I've come to think of this book as that. It's sort of like an opening, or a little example of what becomes possible when we feel safe enough to share these stories and these pieces of our past. And so that's really what I hope keeps happening with this book.
That's beautiful. I'm gonna quote that when we feel safe enough to share. That's really, really beautiful. 'Cause I think sometimes we take for granted, 'cause it's history and 'cause it's in the past, like, oh, we should be able to share it and talk about it. But there are real world repercussions, still to this day when we're talking about war and we're talking about dictatorships and we're talking about, refugee status. Like, there is real things that still happen day to day that make it dangerous to talk about these things. And so I think that's very powerful. And I'm so happy that you got the opportunity to do that and to share that. So, for our final question, I know authors always hate this one, but what are you working on next? And if you're taking a break, that is totally valid too. But if you're working on something, that you can share with us, let us know.
I love that you said if you're taking a break, that is valid too, because I think whenever I get asked this question, I was the first time I was asked this question, I think it was like 2 days after the book had come out. And I was like, I just want to rest.
Yeah, like I just want to have a glass of wine and like
just
read
like,
something actually.
give me a minute. But I am also working on a new novel project. It is at that kind of precious early stage where I feel protective over it, and I don't want to say too much, but kind of briefly and vaguely, it's about queerness and about the entangled relationships between immigrant mothers and their first generation daughters.
Ooh, I love that. Oh, that's exciting. Okay. So then on that note, let all of our listeners know where to find you online so that they can stay up to date and they can kind of keep their eyes out, for what's coming next. And to stay up to date on everything, with the history burning, because it's if you haven't gotten a copy, you have to get out to your local independent bookseller and pick up a copy. So where can we find you online, Janika?
I am most active on Instagram, so you can find me there, or follow along on my website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Thank you for listening. Please don't forget to rate,
review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite show. Thank you again, and until next time, Lonely Writers, be well.